This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
My Bible. Come on, say it like you mean it, church. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Book of Luke, there it is in chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We're teaching from this subject how to avoid faith failure. And this is the first division. And in this first division, we're really dealing with the mechanics of faith. How does faith work? Because after we learn how faith works and get the mechanics down, then we're going to find out how it is and knowing how faith works, how it is that you can have faith failure. And so we'll look at how people mishandle faith situations, and then we'll close it out with the third division will actually be on how to maximize your faith. But right now, we have been looking at the importance of faith, found out that without faith, we can't please God, found out also that the just shall live by faith, found out that the most important subject for the believer is the subject of faith, and that we overcome by faith and we receive the promises of God by faith. So we began to teach the systematic principles of faith as Jesus taught in Mark chapter 11. And basically, we like to call it the ABCs of faith. Talk about the asking component already, talked about the believing component. We talked about the component of confession, what I need to say up with my mouth. And then we dealt with the demonstration aspect, and that is the corresponding action. And now, tonight, we want to deal with the endurance. Everybody say endurance. All right, go with me, Bibles, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, because one of the areas that we must master if you're not going to have faith failure is the endurance. How to wait, how to hang in there after you've done everything you know to do, how to hang in there. Most people, they began to doubt themselves, they began to doubt the process, and because of this uncertainty, they get real frustrated. And if you understand the whole waiting process, you don't get frustrated. Verse 35 says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And that's what happens. People lose confidence in the process. But the scripture here is telling us, don't do that. Don't cast away your confidence. All right. For verse 36, for you have need of patience. I want you to underline that, because we got to change your thinking about patience tonight. You have need of patience that after you've done the will of God. So that means I've done everything I know to do. I have done it exactly like God said, do it. I have done the will of God. I have obeyed the word. I have done it. It says after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Let me read verse 36 again so that it can sing. It says, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So while I'm working the process of faith, I can do everything I'm supposed to do, and yet the promise has not yet manifested. That does not mean my faith is not working. It does not mean that God has said no. It does not mean that it will not come to pass. Scripture says, this is when I need patience. Amen. Amen. And so when we really clearly understand this, patience is not what most people think it is, and that's what we're going to learn tonight. And that is, we're going to learn that patience is really this endurance, learning how to endure. The Bible says that we follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So if we're going to talk about enduring, hanging in there, amen. Now, maybe we have a question. Anybody standing in faith for something that has not yet come to pass? All right, well, this lesson is for you. I just wondered, maybe everybody's all, everything, you know, everybody's faith is just clicking their ass for it today. It happened for 3 o'clock, you understand? But if you're standing in faith for anything, like most of us are, I said most of us, that's me too. I'm standing in some faith for some real big things, you understand? Yeah, real big things. And they've not yet come to pass, but now my faith is working on it. And I have put on patience so that I can hang in here. I can hang in here through the process. All right, now, go with your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We want to look at this understanding of scriptural revelation on patience. Now, we have a secular revelation on patience because when you normally talk about patience to others, it's like you've resigned and you're just kind of waiting. And it may happen. It may not happen. You got it? I said, well, be patient. It's almost like when a person says that to you, they're telling you, quit expecting so much. Amen. So patience is grossly misunderstood by even believers, but patience does not diminish my faith. What patience does is, as we're going to learn tonight, it does call me to compromise my circumstances. I mean, my confession, my zeal. Patience, scriptural patience, doesn't do that at all. But patience is not resignation of my expectation. It is not scaling back, you know, what I'm expecting God to do. And it's not a step away from idleness. Patience is greatly mentioned throughout the scripture. When you're looking at faith, you see patience right next to it. In Romans chapter 5, are you there? Now, Romans chapter 5, if when you read it, it's just a scripture that really, kind of changes, should change your attitude because, its approach to life situations is far beyond and far different from how we normally approach it. Let's start there in verse 3. It says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Now, that's right there. I'm going to stop right now because I ain't glowing on tribulations. But it says, now, we get excited in the fight. Now, you can only get excited in a fight when you know you're going to win. So it says, we glory in tribulations, all right, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So I glory in tribulation because of what I know. I know something. See, I know my faith works. I know God honors his word. And when I am activating the principles of faith, I know it's going to turn out all right. Now, maybe going through a shaky period, maybe in a storm right now, but I glory in it. I'm excited because God will always bring me through. All right, so we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So I clearly understand now the Bible here talks about patience being a part of the process. Patience, everybody say patience, is a part of the process. All right, now, so go with me your Bibles now to Luke chapter 8. Now, the tone and tenor of the scriptures that we will read concerning patience lends itself to us understanding it's an active force. It's active perseverance. It's endurance. It's fortitude. It's persistence. And you have to change your view of patience and change your view of waiting on the Lord. Now, patience is required to see faith results. It's required to see faith results. And we look at it scriptural now. Scriptural now, it's required. All right? Luke chapter 8, look with me in verse 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. It says, as it's talking here about the parable of the soils, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, watch this, keep it, and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. With patience. So it says bring forth fruit with what? Patience. With patience, all right? Let's go to another passage here in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to see again that if I'm going to get results, it's going to require some patience. So it's not that God's asking something different of you than he asks of everybody. All of us need to understand this whole patience factor. All right, Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. Well, we're going to a whole lot of scriptures. Why? Because this is a Bible study. And in a Bible study, what do you do, class? You study the Bible. All right, watch this. There it is. It says, verse 24, it says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope? Why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that, we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it. With patience we wait. Everybody say with patience. With patience. We wait. So with patience, we wait. All right, now what this is saying is saying that waiting with patience is an action. So I got to get out of your mind that patience is sitting around twiddling your thumbs. Patience is an action. I'm doing something. When I put on patience, it doesn't mean I have resigned from the fight. It doesn't mean I've thrown in the towel. It doesn't mean that I'm saying, que sera, sera, whatever will be. No. I'm still actively involved in the faith process. Amen. Amen. All right, now, go open your Bibles. Let's look at another passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Patience is required to endure persecution, to experience vindication. Because, as I told y'all, it's not in the Bible, but God spoke to me this years ago, you cannot pack enough rocks to chunk at every dog that barks. That ain't a scripture. I know it's not. It's a revelation. Amen. So I got a patience. When folk are talking about you, you can't get all huffed about it. I'm going to put on patience, and God's going to show you you're lying. He's going to show everybody you were lying. Amen. So I'm gonna cool in the process. All right, watch this. Verse 4 says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions, tribulations that you endure. He's telling them patience is what's required. Now, you know, the Bible says, Paul says that he endured a lot of persecution. He says persecution that came to him. And then he says he endured them, and out of them all God delivered him. So you have to understand that some things, you know, you just can't run around and try to chase down every lie. Cannot chase down every person who's talking about you. You got to put on patience and watch God bring your vindication. And have peace and contentment in the process. Amen. All right, let's go to another passage here in Hebrews chapter 6. Patience is a pattern for patience is critical. Not only the principle of patience is clear in the Bible, but the pattern for patience is critical. So I need somebody to demonstrate to me this whole idea of what patience is. Amen? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, are you there? Now you hear me quote this a whole lot. But you're going to be able to see it. I quote this a lot. All right, verse 12. It says, that you be not slothful. I thought I heard that word before, didn't I? Okay. Technician, do your thing. Amen. All right. All right. All right, verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. Now watch this. He says now, don't be slothful or lazy. Everybody say lazy, lazy. All right, he says now, don't be slothful or lazy. He says, but now you follow those. And this word follow comes from a Greek word that means to imitate. You act like those that you've seen who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So if I'm going to look for a pattern of someone who's living, who's receiving the promises, I got to watch, I look at them, and you'll see they know how to put on patience. They know how to put on patience. And patience, as we're going to learn tonight, is continuing to do what you know to do, even when it doesn't look like it's working, because you know it is. Continuing to do what you know to do, even when it doesn't look like it's working, because you know it is. All right? And so we have many examples of patience in the scripture. Of course, Abraham, of course, you look down in verse 15, it says, so he, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Well, you know, most of the time we look at scriptures, and because we can read them quickly, we think everything happened quickly. But Abraham waited almost 25 years for the promise that God made to him come to pass. Now, I'm not telling you got to wait 25 years. But I'm saying, I mean, it wasn't like it happened overnight. I mean, God spoke to him and says, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give you a seed in your old age. And I got to tell you, I mean, it didn't happen the next day. And he had a lot of things that he had to deal with in the natural. Because in the natural, there was no life in his body and no life in her body sexually. They were not sexually engaged or involved at all. And yet, God says, you're going to have a child. And, and he had to endure. Amen. He had to continue to believe.
Amen.
Amen. All right. And so, of course, we see situations where Elijah was praying for rain. And he sent his servant, go look and see if there's rain. The servant come back and say, ain't nothing. I got to stand. You know, you just, you know, you have to, the stage was set that the land had been a drought in the land. The people had repented. And the Bible says that had been recorded that if the people would repent, God would send rain. So now the prophet was in his right to ask God to bring the word to pass. So he's there praying for rain. They had just had this big, fire had fallen from heaven. They had slain all the false prophets. I mean, so now he praying for rain. And he sent his servant, and his servant come back and said, ain't nothing. So he sent his servant again, come back a second time, nothing. You know how some people like they get a joy out of just telling you it ain't working. but he kept on. And then I think about the seventh time, the guy came back. He says, all I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, well, you better tell Ahab, tell the king, he better get in a hurry because it's finna be a gully washer. But he had to persevere, to keep believing, keep praying, even when it didn't look like it was working.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, and when you get in your mind that what you have to do when you've done everything you know to do is to continue to do it. That's what putting on patience is all about. It is not quitting. It is not saying, well, I guess it's not the will of God. Well, you should have known that from the beginning. Because faith starts where the will of God is known. I already know it's the will of God for me to be successful. I already know that's the will of God. So I don't care if they fired me, you still can't stop my success.
Amen. Amen.
That's easy for you to say. But you got to look at my record. I've been there.
Amen.
I've been there.
Amen.
You know, I call my record. You don't want me to do that. I spend the rest of the night. I've been there. I've been where it looked like it wasn't working. I stood up 20-some years ago, tell everybody God told me that we're going to have this church and we're going to do this, that, and the other. And had about 300 members. Next week, only 23 show up. That don't look like it's working. And then the 277 that left lying. They left calling me a false prophet and they put it all over the city and all that kind of stuff. I just kept doing what God told me to do. Because God knew you were on your way. Are you listening to me? You know, I remember getting a bad report from the doctor. You understand? Then the doctor gave me some pills and said, you go home, take these and, come back. And I came back and it was worse. And it looked like the nurse just had fun telling me, your numbers are higher. I mean, like she got some kind of joy to try to traumatize you. Your numbers are higher. And I just say, ma'am, what really matters has not changed. He's still my healer. What you do, continue to do what I've been doing. Getting up every morning, confessing the word of God, declaring he's my healer. My body lines up with the word. Every nerve, every cell, every muscle, my blood lines up with the Lord. I have to continue to do what I know to do until it did.
That's right.
And then she said, it went down. I mean, no joy. Come on now. You ought to be rejoicing with me. Oh, it went down. All right, now, watch this. Go over in your Bibles now to Colossians chapter 1. Because patience, number one, is grossly misunderstood by believers. Number two, patience is greatly mentioned throughout the Bible. And then number three, patience is a godly mandate for believers. It's a godly mandate. I told you to go to Colossians. Put your ribbon there. We'll come back to that. But let's first go to, let's jaywalk. Everybody say jaywalk.
Jaywalk.
Let's jaywalk to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's just jaywalk over there. All right? In James chapter 1, again, what we're teaching on class? Come on, what subject? Patience. Patience is this spiritual resolve that gives birth to the strength and tenacity to continue operating in faith in the face of give up opportunities. Continue to do what I know to do, even when it doesn't look like it's working, because I know it is. Amen, amen. All right. Patience is really learning to rest in the promises of God because I've got it settled in my heart. It's a discipline. Everybody say enforced obedience. It's a discipline, enforced obedience, to stay with the course of the word of God regardless of what it looks like. All right, James chapter 1, there I start in verse 2. It says, my brethren, again, James must have been talking to Paul in Romans chapter 5. They got the same idea about this trouble. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Something's wrong with these people. You know, Paul was over there talking, we glory in tribulation. And I hear James talking, count it all joy. What side of the bed did they get up on for? They wrote this scripture. Because that's not the rest. See, and that's a discipline. It's a discipline to have to count it all joy. Because you don't feel like counting the joy. You don't feel like glory in tribulation. You don't feel like that. But patience is not a feeling. It's a discipline. It's enforced obedience. I choose by an act of my will. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing, that's the key, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, that's mature, entire, wow, wanting what? Now, if I work this whole idea of patience properly, it will bring me to the place that what I desired I'll have, and I'll be in want of nothing. Go with me to the Bible. Let's look at another passage while we're looking at this. In Luke 21, how patience, what the scripture says about patience is what helps me keep my head together. Amen. I put on patience. Folk acting a fool. And you could, you know, get around there and act a fool with them. But you said, nope, I'm going to put on patience. Amen. All right, are you there? All right. I'll start with verse 16. You really, if you want, you know, really want to look at this whole thing, you have to start verse 10 and talk about how bad things can be. Okay? But we're going to pick it up at verse 16. It says, and you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsmen and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But that shall not have your head be perish. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Don't lose your mind. I'm going to put on patience. You acting a fool, act like you don't know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, some people can go off on you. And you be wanting to go off on them. But in patience, possess you your soul. I had that situation the other day at a basketball game. I went to see my granddaughter play. And this referee was making the crazy calls. I mean, it was obvious. He was making calls for the other team. He probably made 20 calls against my granddaughter's team and 2 calls for them all night long. And, you know, I'm very active. I mean, very, you know, outspoken. So I think I got a little too outspoken. I had to sit down and just be quiet and possess my soul. I got the preach to these people. Oh, my God. Now, that's just in a comical sense. But in a real sense, I mean, you can go through some situations with people, and they are just acting up. You follow me? You done prayed for them, you know, everything you've done for, especially some of these teenagers. And teenagers, you know, when they're going through their dumb days, you better put on patience. Don't let them cause you to have a blood pressure going up. Put on patience. Don't let your blood pressure go up. Don't do that. Amen. Well, you said some people on your job. Just acting up, you know, already pray, God, give me peace. God, move on this situation and look like they just go. You better put on patience and possess your soul. Okay, go to Colossians chapter 1. Y'all didn't want to go there with me. Yeah. Amen. All right, Colossians chapter 1. And now here we want to deal with the Bible lists patience as one of the traits of the mature believer. That when I can learn to be patient. And I had to learn this. I tell you, man, you know, I tell you, I had to learn this. And that's when I put Reverend Hilliard to bed. Now, y'all hear me talk about Reverend Hilliard. You know, I say that, you know, kind of jokingly, but, you know, in my younger day, even though I, you know, loved the Lord, I was very impatient with folk. Very, very impatient. And, you know, just, you know, I've grown. Some of my old members know I have grown. Y'all going to say amen. I ain't going to get upset with y'all. Haven't I grown? Y'all who are over there in Crown Park, y'all know I have grown. Because, see, they couldn't get the sound right. I stop right now and go up there and get it right for them. Let y'all be sitting here looking at nothing. Come on, isn't that right? And like some, I see these kids talking now. Oh, I stop right in the middle and say, oh, you got more to say than I have. Well, why don't you just come on up here? Yeah, you right there. You got more to say than I have. So you just come on up here and teach. And I'm going to just sit down right here. And I'll sit down and wait for you to come. And all these folk walking out on me on Sunday. Oh, no. No, 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 no. I go heads bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's walking but the disobedient. Where you going? Come on. Have I grown? I let y'all walk on out. Y'all be eating candy on me while I'm preaching. I don't even bother. And I used to wake them up when they sleep. Brother, won't you wake up? So, would you tell so-and-so you got to sleep, got to go to sleep on me? Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't ever want Reverend Hilliard to come back. We put Reverend Hilliard to bed. We let him stay to bed so y'all gonna cut up. And I don't let y'all bother me now. Y'all just cutting up. I don't let y'all bother. I'm preaching the word. Those who want to hear the word. Amen. Amen. I mean, y'all be waking him up though. I've said, heads bowed, eyes closed. The whole school of people go, Reverend Hilliard, say, I got this. I said, No, you don't. You don't have this. You do not have this. Leave it alone. Now, why y'all laughing at me? Let's think of some areas you can grow in. Yeah, some areas that some stuff you just have to let go. And I'm going to give people time to grow up on them, you understand? Give some people some time to grow. And, you know, your children, you have to give them time to grow. You know, you've done all you can do. You follow me? And now, you got to put on some patience. Amen. As you're waiting for things to manifest in their lives, waiting for things to manifest in your own life. Hallelujah. Are you in Colossians chapter 1? Because I'm about ready to close because y'all, we had a good lesson tonight. Amen. Y'all got a chance to laugh at me real good. All right. Verse 10 says that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. Now, when you understand we're talking about patience and long suffering and joyfulness, you know, these are attributes that the Bible says are attributed to those who are mature. In the Amplified, it says this there in verse 11, it says, and we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory to exercise every kind of, watch this, endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearing with joy. Look at all of these words he uses there to describe a patient act, enduring, perseverance. It doesn't sound like I'm sitting back doing nothing, right? So I got to get in my mind that when the Bible is talking about me being patient, it's not talking about me sitting back doing nothing, but I'm taking control of the situation in a different way, in a disciplined way. Everybody say discipline, discipline. All right, go to Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2. Amen. Now, have you identified some areas you can grow in? Amen. That's some things. Yes, I ain't going. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. All right, verse 2 it says, and the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Everybody say be. Now, when he says be something, he says, now, this is what's required of you. All right? This is what's required of you. Now, go with your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. He said, that's a whole lot of scripture. Come on now. I'm just about wrapping up. We're still in the Bible. Because patience causes you to tap the breakthrough beyond your quitting point. If you quit now, you're not going to be able to see what you believe come to pass. Patience gives me strength to endure hardships until the manifestation comes. Patience is really the incubator of faith, giving it time to grow and prevail. Amen. Amen. Now, are you there in Romans chapter 5? Amen. Romans chapter 5. And I got, I think, maybe one other scripture, and then we're going to be ready to go. Romans chapter 5. Look there with me in verse 3. It says, and not only so, we looked at it before, but we do what?
Glory.
We do what?
Glory.
We glory in what? We what?
Glory.
We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Amplified says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and afflictions and hardships produce patience and unswerving endurance. So when I'm patient, that means I'm not giving up. So when I got on patience, that means I am not giving up. All right. Now, go with your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to wrap this one up because patience allows me to do several things. Number one, gives me time to allow the spiritual forces to impact the natural. While I'm patiently waiting, as it were, I'm allowing the spiritual forces to impact the natural. Everybody say the spiritual to impact the natural. All right, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall what? Walk and not faint. Now, so this whole idea of waiting or being patient, patiently waiting, is a strengthening position for you. It is not a position of weakness. It's not wimping out. I put my patience on it. It means I'm going to stand until I see it come to pass. And so it gives me time to allow the spiritual forces to work, to impact the natural. Secondly, patience allows me to check up on my lifestyle. In other words, I don't want to be the delay issue in the manifestation. Because the Bible teaches us in Jeremiah 5:25, that my iniquity or sin in my life can delay my blessing. So while I'm patiently waiting, I'm going to check my lifestyle, make sure all is well. Patience allows me, and it works to allow me, to review my confession. I might need to change my confession, make sure my confession is accurate, make sure it's on point, make sure it's present tense. We call things that be not as though they were. Amen. Amen. You know, we make the statement, my best days are yet to come. Well, that's not a statement of faith. That's right. Faith is now.
That's right.
So I got to declare I'm living in my best days.
Amen.
Now, everybody don't look, well, it don't look like a better day to me, but I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Abraham called himself the father of nations before he had any children.
That's right.
So I said, I'm living in my best days. Amen. Little person that said, I'm living in my best days. All right. Now, patience also allows you to manage your thought life. I got to control my thought life. I am not going to back off of my faith, what the word of God says. So I got to listen more to the word of God. Patience allows me to check my fellowship. I got to make sure I don't have folk around me telling me to give up. Oh, that ain't going to never come to pass. When you going to quit all that confession? Well, I need to get away from around you. I know that.
Amen.
You follow me? The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So I want to make sure I'm around others who are going to encourage me. Amen. And in the early days, that's what I had to do. Lady B and that's why we're such good friends. You know, we go to lunch every day together. We've been going to lunch every day together for, I can't remember how many years. 30 years? You got it? When we went through the church situation, well, we lost all our friends, so we became best friends. You know, some of them we lost, on purpose. Well, we couldn't hang around them. Well, you can't hang around people tell you, man, hey, all that stuff, nobody will go over here, you explain the Bible. Who you think you are? You think you're Fred Price or something? This is not California. This is Texas. This is, you think nobody gonna come and listen to you explain. I had to cut that dude loose. Then I had this one fella here, he'd always say, you ain't nothing but a dreamer. That's all we got. When you gonna face reality, you ain't nothing but a dreamer. You think all that stuff gonna come to pass? Multiple churches, anybody ever heard no multiple churches? Church here, church there, nobody ever. I had to get him out of my ear. Prosperity, you ever know what preacher you know prosper? What preacher do you know with prosperous? That is not me. I said, but it's in the Bible. I don't care what that say. And those relationships I had to redefine. Amen. I could not have that being spoken in my ear every day and stay in faith. Patience allows you to check up on your commitment to praise. Amen. Know what you mean? The Bible says he creates the fruit of the lips. That is one thing, we thank God for our praise and worship services here, because while you're working on something, you ought to come early. You don't come here late. You come in here early. You want to be a part of praise and worship. I know you're praising at home, but hey, in this atmosphere of praise, oh God, I thank you. I mean, your Bible says he creates the fruit of my lips. See, I want to offer up the sacrifice of praise. Now, in the natural, we say, oh, you don't know what you got to praise for. You just went to the doctor, got the bag of pork. What do you want to praise for? I'm praising because he's my healer. And he said, if I praise him, he would manifest it. Amen. And then finally, this patience, it works to allow you to check up on your commitment to God. Everybody say your commitment to God. This is so powerful. If scripture tells us, we hear it all the time. We just got to, we got to really just apply it. It says, seek first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be what? So while I'm patiently waiting, I'm not going to cut back on my kingdom commitments. In fact, I'm going to really put more emphasis on my kingdom commitment, because I want this blessing that I see in the Bible, that when I begin to focus on others and focus on the kingdom, God takes care of my stuff. Amen. I was talking to one guy and he's asking me, he says, now, where's God when you're going through your situations? Where is God? I said, I don't know where he is. Where is he? Where's God? When you're standing in faith, where is God? It's easy. It's in Psalms 23. He's preparing the table before me. For me, in the very presence of those who said it wouldn't work. So you be comforted when everybody said, oh, no, what you know, no, no, you understand, where is God? He's somewhere preparing. He's somewhere working. He's putting people and circumstances and situations in order to bring to pass that what you are praying for. Are you listening to me? That is the anchor of our faith. The anchor of our faith is this patience in knowing God is not asleep. God has not abandoned me. When I open my mouth and I put faith on the scene on this thing, he assigned angels to go to work. He's talking to people about me. He's moving me into the company of people I need to know and the knowledge of things I need to know. He's raising up somebody to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me. God is at work on my situation. And I'm out of time. Did y'all get blessed tonight? Come on, let's just thank God right now.